From the land of the Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 17th day of August 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Sue Martin. She's with Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons, that's their ethanol plant outside of Logansport, Indiana, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Along the way, a more complete update of that brand new State Fair Foundation that was announced yesterday by Governor Rauner. And we'll take a look at the agricultural news for the day on this Wednesday afternoon of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, the numbers finished higher for the day. September corn at 330 and a quarter, up 2 3/4. December 339 and 3/4, 2.5 higher. The March contract there up 2.5 at 349 and 3/4. May up 2 1/4. July 2.5 higher. Next year's December up 2 3/4 cents. September soybeans were 11 higher at $10.30 and a half. November at 1016 up 8 3/4. January 8.5 higher at 1015 and a half. May up 7 3/4, July up 6 3/4, November beans up 7 cents for 2017. Bean oil 63 cents higher, bean meal up a dime. Soft red winter wheat, July soft red at 481 3/4, up 4 1/4, and the hard red July at 479, up 6.5 cents. Live cattle futures were 75 cents lower at 114.75. Feeders down 40 at 146.72 1/2, and lean hogs finished at $61 even, $1.15 higher. We're now joined by Sue Martin of Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Sue.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, so first off, I want to know what farmers in your area thought about USDA's report last week and the idea that they might have a record crop in the great state of Iowa that's 19 bushels above their previous record.
Well, I think for corn, I think a lot of farmers in the area are not agreeing with that. Some farmers are saying they think their yields are down around maybe 15 to 20 bushel to the acre. What we've seen is, yes, there is tip back, but on the same token, maybe 16 rows around and maybe 30 kernels long, it just doesn't look like a stellar crop compared. It's a decent crop, just not the excellent crop like we had a year ago. So, but it's the beans, and even looking at a 175 BPA, it makes you wonder how much more can that one really inch up. We don't think it does. But on beans, you know, the weather in August here is pretty ideal. And believe it or not, this morning I live like 25 miles away from where my office is, and I seen 3 bean fields where, you know, how they just, that whole field starts to get that cast, and it's turning. And it just, I thought, oh my goodness, it's just the middle of August, and here we are. So, you know, beans go by daylight hours, and I just was shocked to see that. It seems so soon. But we're certainly going to have a lot of corn, I think, coming ready here. Starting to see ears starting to tip a little bit. You know, 100-day corn, 104-day corn. You're going to be ready here in very early September. I think we'll be seeing corn black layer and ready to harvest. The stocks might not be ready.
It was easy to understand last week when soybeans were rallying and we had exports in the marketplace. However, they have continued to do so. I've been hunting around for some ideas as to what that might be. Do you have any good fundamental news that tells you that soybeans should continue to rally?
Well, I think we priced in the crop yield as we know it at this time in that hard break. And with the dollar in decline and with the Chinese appetite, they're using these hard dips that we get to be buying. We have to remember, Brazil's not competitive with us now, and we probably won't see much competition out of them until we get past the turn of the year into January. So, you know, and then you look at Argentine farmers, and they're not aggressive sellers. So we're kind of the cat's meow right now for business. And you look at China, and we're seeing China booking beans right and left, and if it isn't them, it's unknown destinations. And they're doing so instead of canola out of Canada. And I think that's rather interesting. So I look at, you know, the dollar being favorable at this time for them to be coming into our marketplace. Also, you know, the crushing margins are getting a little better. And I think what if Brazil was to have another weather issue this coming season when they start to plant the middle of September? What if? I think China's trying to cover themselves. But it isn't just China. You look at Mexico. Mexico's booking corn right and left. And not only for just the 16-17 crop year, they're booking it even for 17-18. I think it's very interesting. Demand looks to me like it's on a good uptick. The markets are looking at that. And so all the for the moment, they don't see the crop as getting a lot less. But, you know, corn, they don't see it a lot bigger. But beans could go another half a bushel to the acre higher in September, but what they're looking at is this insatiable demand that's coming at us, and I think that's what's helping the market be supported. That, and then also you look at all the rain that you've had in the Delta, and, you know, the Delta does account for a fair amount of beans, and they don't like wet feet. And then on top of that, you had the Farmer's Almanac, I believe it was last Friday, came out with a special edition talking about forewarning of frigid temperatures.
Right, so with soybeans, even with the higher prices, maybe a seasonal, I suppose, are you telling producers that they need to take advantage of this once they get a better handle on the size of their crop and they've walked around it to make sure that they've got something there?
Well, I think so. What we're looking at is that as this market rallies, we have to keep one thing in mind. In the last, since 1970, we have had 28 years where the summer low came in August, and this one appears to be the same thing again. But I think what's happening is we have a market that is giving us another opportunity to be making some cash sales. Farmers aren't selling on those hard breaks, and therefore, with the good crushing margins, you know, basis levels are firming again. And so I would recommend take advantage of this, because I do think we're going to get another opportunity to come back at this market and replace ownership. I think this next year holds some promise again, but I also believe that farmers are probably going to move their beans first and hang on to corn because it's just so cheap.
When you look forward into 2017, do you think that producers should change their mix of acreage at all?
I think they will change their mix of acreage. Weather will enhance that maybe as we go into the spring of next year. We'll see. It's a La Nina year, and we'll see what's happening with that winter. Sometimes these La Nina winters like to hang on with a lot of moisture, and so we'll see, because we've had such an early break this year for a spring and what have you. But I tell farmers, you know, it's hard when you're looking and talking to a banker, and yes, corn can, with added ears per plants per acre now, like they've done, can they go a whole lot more? You know, if you hit a dry year, you're going to have a problem. I think that what we're looking at is less corn acres this next year, and then we have to see how much less, because Argentine acres are going up. In fact, when you look at Argentina, I think their acres for corn this next year, they're talking 4.5 million hectares, and that's up about 900,000 hectares from last year. So, and it's because of the taxation situation that farmers are enduring in Argentina. They don't have taxation on corn and wheat. They do on soybeans, and I think it drops down to 25% here. But the government's even been having a little bit of a comment rhetoric where they're even almost trying to backtrack on that, dropping that taxation on beans, that 5%. If they don't do it, they're going to have some frustrated farmers, I think.
Hey, Sue, thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. I enjoyed it.
No problem. You guys have a great day out there.
All right. Thanks so much. That, of course, is Sue Martin. She's with Ag and Investment Services out of Webster City, Iowa. In today's agricultural news, Donald Trump yesterday unveiled a lengthy list of agricultural advisors that is brimming with Republican heavy hitters. His Rural and Agriculture Advisory Committee includes more than five dozen members, with seven women among them, and several key GOP farm policy establishment leaders, from Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts of Kansas and House Agriculture Committee Chairman Mike Conaway of Texas, to Representatives Rodney Davis from right here in the great state of Illinois and Robert Adderholt of Alabama, chairman of the House Appropriations Committee's Agriculture Panel. The Trump Agriculture Committee boasts no fewer than 10 current or former farm state governors, including former Republican rival Rick Perry from Texas, Jim Gilmore, the former governor of Virginia. The list also includes sitting governors from Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Oklahoma, North Dakota, and South Dakota. That the campaign assembled such a mainstream lineup for a candidate that has splintered the party points to Trump's strong support among rural voters. We'll stay with politics, but switch sides of the aisle. It looks like another Hillary Clinton acolyte is throwing into question the sincerity of her opposition to the TPP. This time, it's Ken Salazar, a former Colorado senator and Interior Secretary, who will lead Clinton's transition team. Salazar, like Clinton's running mate Tim Kaine, has views on trade that run counter to hers. Salazar praised the 12-nation Asian-Pacific trade deal last year for its economic and environmental benefits. He called the pact the greenest trade deal ever and said it would help middle-class families get ahead. The TPP, he says, promotes and rewards American firms that export our clean energy ingenuity, creating good jobs at home while shaping a renewable energy future abroad. The campaign Tuesday announced Salazar's appointment to its transition team, which will work with Clinton to generate a list of potential cabinet secretaries and lower-level positions. The decision to name Salazar with his pro-free trade background raises further questions around Clinton's anti-TPP stance, as the former Secretary of State has struggled to convince the liberal left that she will continue to oppose the deal if elected. Let's move from the body politic now to the judiciary, where challengers to EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule, that's WOTUS, lost their latest attempt to have their case heard by the district courts the groups believed would be more receptive to their arguments. A three-judge panel of the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals decided it would wait to take up the case until the 6th Circuit Court of Appeals rules on a slate of challenges to the Clean Water Rule from several states. The 11th Circuit panel noted the 6th Circuit has already decided that it, and not district courts, has jurisdiction. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Gary Schnitke is here. Thanks, Gary, for being with us. Yesterday, you penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I think for what, the fourth year in a row, you're telling producers they have to cut cost for the 2017 growing season.
Yep, and we're looking at the 2017 growing season, and we have seen cost cuts, but we will continue to need to see cost cuts. And again, that's setting up because of low revenue for the 2017 year. We're using a $3.50 price for corn, $9 price for soybeans, and those are consistent with what we're seeing out there right now for fall delivery bids in 2017. So those prices result in very low revenue, and there's not likely to be an Arc County payment associated with the 2017 crop. So we're looking at lower revenue in 2017 than we'll likely have in 2016, and definitely lower than in 2014 and 2015.
Probably not a PLC payment for either corn or soybeans as well.
And for 2017, there likely won't be a payment for soybeans. There could be for corn. We're using a $3.50 price, which the reference price is $3.70, so there could be a payment for PLC. However, most farmers have made the decision to be in Arc County, so 93% of the acres are enrolled in Arc County, so not many PLC farms out there.
They'll need to start this fall cutting costs.
Yep. Again, we're saying the same thing as before. Fertilizer, seed, chemicals, and cash rents. We've seen cost cuts in fertilizer. We've seen pretty large declines in fertilizer prices, and cash rents have come down. But just to give you a feel, even after cost cuts, we're suggesting that the cash rent for 200 bushel land would have to be $220 per acre for a break even for the farmer. That's well below where most cash rents are at for that 200 bushel acre land.
Any indication that the price of fertilizer will drop enough to make a big difference?
We will likely see declines in fertilizer prices. And in fact, we built those in into our budgets. So we put another $20 decline in fertilizer. So those are built into our budgets. But we still continue to see low revenues.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnittke is a University of Illinois agricultural economist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check in on what's been happening in the agricultural cash grain segment. Pete Peterson is here. He's with the Andersons at their Clymers facility. That's the ethanol plant outside of Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon.
Well, my producer's probably not all that happy, I wouldn't think. Despite the fact that prices have been rallying, they missed a soybean sale, I think, from their perspective earlier in the year. And right now, they're not willing sellers at this time. What would you like to say to them about that and whether they should or shouldn't?
Well, I guess between the two commodities right now, you look at the two, and you'd have to lock in some prices on which one is profitable. And right now, it looks like the beans are the profitable one. And we're much closer to $10 cash than we are $9, and we can't lose perspective of that.
Okay, so then as you look at the basis levels, and let's talk about corn at this point, how quickly do you think your basis will begin to erode, or has it already?
Well, we have two different marketplaces here that we buy for out of this office. So one is our Delphi facility, which is a true rail market, and our Clymers facility is obviously an end user with the ethanol plant. And pretty much our needs met for the month of August, and we have faded our basis. We went to 6 under the September, and we just yesterday actually equated that to the December, so it looks even crazier at 16 under the December, and our all fall bid is 20 under the December, so we're pretty close to that ourselves already. Now on the rail market is 2 under the September, which should be 8 over the Dece, and with that said, I think in general with a new crop being 20, there's still a little bit of premium there.
All right. So you expect farmers to clean bins out and sell you the corn then?
Exactly. That's the reason where we're at, kind of over here in Clymers. Our bid's a little bit sloppy this time of year, just for the simple fact there's a lot of guys are, the reality is kind of hitting home that a new crop is knocking on the door and they have to have room to put it. And it's better to store a new crop than to try to keep the old crop around.
What are conditions are like around your area today?
We had a gazillion-dollar rain that happened over 2 days ago. The northern areas were very in much need of rain, and we got, goodness, I think the least I heard was an inch and a half, and I think the most I heard was 8 inches around the Knox, Winnemac, and South Bend areas. But it really helped finish off some of the crops, especially the beans. Corn had some damage in the north, but I think, this is really helping test weights. So we're in a pretty decent place at this point.
And what are your bids actually for the day?
Bids today, we're at Delphi, we're at corn, 328 at 2 under the September. Clymers, we're at 324 at 16 under the Dece. And on the bean side, Delphi, we are at 9 over the November at 1025.
Thanks so much, Pete.
You bet.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner is here now. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon indeed.
It looks like we've had a little rain, and now we're going to get some cooler weather. Boy, that sounds just like the right prescription for a good end of the month of August.
Yes. We've had a great summer in retrospect. A lot of nervousness. I think everyone's been taking their Pepto here recently, but it's all over. And it looks like we're going to finish out in the same style that we've been in for a while here. Frequent showers and thunderstorms occurring across the region. We have two cool air masses that will be dropping in from Canada, and each one will bring a chance for some rain with it, more than a chance. will actually occur. And then we'll see some temperatures that are almost nippy. It won't be a lot longer than maybe this weekend before we start hearing people worry about early frost and freezes. And I fully expect the phone to be ringing on Monday about that issue. Not that we're under any kind of a threat with this current bout of coolness, but temperatures will get down to the 40s in parts of the northern plains and the upper Midwest, and that'll start shaking a few people that are looking still for a reason for the crop to have a problem. But I do not expect that to take place. We will certainly be cool for several days going into next week, but we will turn around and warm back up again. We shouldn't see another bout of cold of this intensity again for a while.
We're into the hurricane season. Is there any problem with the terms of hurricanes and potential wetness going into the month of September? Maybe an early harvest in parts of the Midwest?
Well, you know, at the moment, the tropics have been fairly quiet. We do have a depression out there right now. It's going to become a tropical storm soon, but it's way out to the east. It's not going to be a factor for the U.S. at all. Some of the computer models at midday today brought a little system up close to Florida. I think that's probably not going to take place. The bottom line is, over these next few weeks, I think we'll probably see the usual increase in tropical activity. I would think that a storm coming up through the heart of the Delta into the Midwest is probably a little unlikely this year. Not impossible, but probably not a very probable event. And for that reason, and because of developing La Nina, we should be able to see a fairly good harvest season.
So let's see. No early frost, no wet fall. Let's look someplace else and see if there are any problems in China. I know they've been dry in France at one point. Russia says it's got a great crop on hand there, too.
Yeah, you know, France has probably got the biggest issue, and it's kind of a sleeping dog of sorts because it's been fairly quiet. We get comments out of there every once in a while. They have been dry for several weeks. It hasn't been hot, but every once in a while there. But it's been dry enough that their corn and sunseed crops have shrunk down quite a bit. And, of course, they had all that problem with spring cereals earlier this year, and they lost a bunch of production from that. So now they're hurting with their summer crops. So France isn't too happy right now. Ukraine's got some dryness, and that's ongoing. But it looks like France and Ukraine both will get an opportunity for rain in the coming week that will offer at least temporary relief. And you mentioned China. There's an area of east central China that's drying down at the moment. It is not critical yet, but we're watching it real closely. We think this dryness will only last another week.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. I'm Todd Gleason.